You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by Brand Driven Digital, helping you build better brands online through strategic consulting, digital coaching, and training and events. Learn more at branddrivendigital.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today's guest is Steve LaCroix. Now in his 15th season with the Minnesota Vikings, Steve serves as the team's executive vice president and chief marketing officer. LaCroix oversees all aspects of Vikings-generated revenues. He also leads the team's radio and television programming, websites, digital and social initiatives, merchandise and e-commerce operations, community and special events, marketing partnerships, advertising, branding, promotions, graphic design, fan relations, and game day activities. He also played a significant role in the recent stadium transition team. LaCroix has led a variety of additional new initiatives, including the team's introduction of an enhanced Norseman logo and new uniforms in 2013, the second uniform change under LaCroix's leadership. The club has also brought radio and television broadcast rights in-house and started year-round weekly television and radio programming. The Vikings have had multiple full redesigns of Vikings.com and open Vikings Locker Room official retail stores across the Twin Cities. Fans have been treated to the introduction of Victor the Viking, the official team mascot, and the Skull Line drumline. Under LaCroix, the Vikings' sellout streak reached 144 games at Mall of America Field. A fellow alum of the University of Iowa and board member of the Marketing Institute here on campus, I'm excited to welcome Steve to the On Brand podcast. Steve, welcome.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I am great. You know, as we were starting off, I have to share that before I hit the record button, you cop to not being an agency-trained brand guy, but I was going through that list, and I kept waiting to get to also sweeps the floors, because it seems like about everything under the sun. Is there anything with a Viking logo on it that you don't oversee in some capacity?
There's plenty of other other things, but now I've got a great team, and being my 15th season here at the Vikings, it's exciting times with our new stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, that'll open in the fall, and we're going to build a new training facility in Eagan over by the airport, Mall of America. So we've got a lot going here and very exciting times.
Well, that's, you know, I said before that I abbreviated your bio, and you have so many irons in the fire and so many new things, and such big things, too, that, I mean, touch the brand as well. So, you know, how would you say, you know, in looking at the scope of everything that you do and thinking about how most of us, you know, approach brands and branding, you know, what would you say are some specific challenges with what you do?
Well, you know, our brand means many things to many people. You know, obviously our fans are first and foremost, and that fan can be someone that consumes our product by being in the stands on game day. And the vast majority, I think, studies show that, you know, close to 96% of Vikings fans never really set foot in your stadium to attend a game. So, you know, we've worked really hard on trying to, you know, resonate our brand and position our brand across all mediums, having consistency and actually going through kind of a detailed brand study and brand platform building with the league office right now. It's exciting so good timing to connect with you and talk a little further.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting to think about, because you talked about fans first and foremost, and I think in your specific line of work that's maybe easier to keep top of mind than some of us with maybe more traditional corporate brand-focused jobs where we get caught up with everything inside? And, you know, literally when you're talking about marketing, a sports team, you do think, that's the language is thinking of fans, whereas I think businesses could benefit from more kind of a fan-focused mentality.
Well, yeah, we're really a small business, a couple hundred, employees, but we're a very high profile business. And so, when we, make the news, it's, front page, above the fold, whether it's sports section or I'm an old school newspaper guy. I love to read the paper still, which my teenage kids think I'm crazy, but people are always, the media is always looking, what are the Vikings doing, and as well as other sports teams in town, but never have to worry about people following what we're up to, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. Well, and you talked about kind of the larger platform aspect, too, of with the NFL. How does that work hierarchically from a brand perspective?
Well, it's important. We were founded in 1961. We have transplanted our fans this season and last to play at the University of Minnesota while we build our U.S. Bank Stadium and have our new digs that open up, late July of this upcoming next summer. It's really just it was good timing for us to. And we haven't officially kind of, finalized and rolled this out yet. And we're not looking for anything, anything crazy. But really just it was good for us internally to look, what are our brand values and what's our brand positioning and brand essence. And to have, we have a pretty unique situation where we're the Minnesota Vikings, so our, we're Vikings, in the upper Midwest here. We look at ourselves as really the upper Midwest team, North and South Dakota, certainly. We consider Vikings country. We think Des Moines North, the upper part of Iowa is certainly Vikings territory. Mm-hmm. Once you go about 100 feet into Wisconsin, it gets pretty tough. But, right. Winnipeg, up in Canada, we've got a lot of fans up there as well. So we really look at ourselves as a regional brand, not just the Minnesota Vikings, but certainly that five-state area. And so, how can we engage our fan base accordingly? And then, like all sports teams, we have fans all over the world. We have season ticket members that live in London that fly over every game, and we've got a season ticket member in every state in the U.S. So it's when you have that kind of history and tenure of being an NFL team, it's fun to see all those different fan bases and not just in your backyard.
Yeah, well, and I think too, especially you've got that rich heritage, and also you've got that sense of place that you can capitalize on in terms of the upper Midwest, but also kind of the almost the Viking brand as well too. I mean, of all of the pieces of kind of that culture and heritage that you can pull in there too.
Yeah, no, that's very important to us, and frankly, that you're going to see even more of that as we move along. We're in a unique position. We're not a in our division, a Lion or a Bear or a Packer. I mean, we're Vikings. There's Vikings were real. They were very progressive and innovative in their day, and so we are kind of flying in. We think in the same lines with what was very iconic. New facility, U.S. Bank Stadium, that we'll move into next season.
Well, that's interesting. You could wander off kind of in the tall grass a bit on it, but I think about the difference in being and the impact and kind of what you can visualize, and more importantly, what fans can visualize too, what they bring to knowing what. A Viking is, and I'm a Viking, we're Vikings, as opposed to an animal or something that is kind of less concrete. You have a lot that kind of is in the fiber of who the brand is.
Well, the Vikings, they were very inclusive. They're very community minded, obviously. Had a little violent streak to them as they right. Took over, certain conquered certain regimes back in the day, but they you know, held women's rights very highly, you know, and so you know, when a Viking would go off to war or battle, and if he was killed, the wife would then take over control of that, their property, which was pretty unique back in those days. And so, you know, not to get too far off course here, but you know, there is just a neat story there of the Vikings and what, you know, kind of what they stood for. And I mentioned that innovative approach of how they sailed the seas and you know, didn't believe the world was flat and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right. Well, and you know, I think too, was just over in Sweden recently, so a lot of that culture I have kind of top of mind, and in thinking about that, you know, symbols are very big too. And in your tenure, you've talked about you know, the redesigns of the uniforms, and you know, introducing new logo, mascot, and I think, you know, man, at a more traditional brand, logo redesign is still about one of the hardest things you can do, much less when you do have, you talked about being a small business, a very visible small business, but how do you approach something like that where you do have rabid fans with kind of Viking fervor?
It's a balance, I'll tell you that. I mean, we have fans that have tattoos of our logo on their bodies. And so, you know, you know, that's true for some other brands, but I'm sure, you know, the vast, vast majority, that's not the case. You know, and so, you know, we took it very seriously. You know, we worked, you know, the league has a great, you know, branding department and division, and worked, you know, hand in glove with them as far as, you know, we were very passionate on our end of let's not get cute with the, what we call our Vikings Norsemen, our logo. It's got great heritage and tradition, but we felt like it just needed a little modern shift and update. We didn't really call it a logo change. It was more of a refresh. And, you know, because now when that logo was first developed in the early 60s, you know, there weren't digital applications of it. You weren't seeing it, you know, in 4K and in high def. And so we just felt like we needed to clean it up a little bit, but still stay true to the core and the roots of what it was initially designed as and stands for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's one of those too, that I was just talking with a guest on the podcast yesterday and was talking about kind of some of those, you know, great iconic brands that you could say that they really haven't changed. But you look kind of at the history, the evolution over time, and it really more so than you'd think, but very gradual and very kind of inclusive of what the core brand DNA is too.
Yeah, you know, it's a very unique logo that we have. You know, it's a person. You know, so there's, you know, to take that into consideration. You know, versus you know, kind of an animal or a cartoon or letter or symbol, and so. You know, the color purple is also very unique, and so we, you know, have worked real hard to fine tune, you know, that purple to be, you know, the true purple, and you know, how does it reflect on TV and show and high def, and we work with the networks to make sure that it doesn't come across too blue, and you know, and all those kind of things, just to you know, because we're, you know, one of a few teams that really, you know, has that purple color, which. We think really stands out and is a lot of fun.
Well, you talk about how our brand is a person, and also introducing a mascot. What was behind that kind of decision?
Well, we didn't have a mascot per se, as far as, you know, that was, you know, under the Vikings purview, that could go and do, you know, school appearances. And so we launched Victor the Viking and does, you know, several hundred appearances a year, and just is a great brand ambassador for us, whether that's you know, at games, at community events, at schools. I mean, Victor is on the move, and you know, always up to something as far as, you know, out there, you know, representing us and our brand.
What's, because I you are making me think of what you said previously too about, you know, Vikings being community minded. And, you know, when you do have a brand that can be personified like that, that's a huge asset.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, we obviously, our players are, you know, are absolutely our brand and what many people think about, you know, when you think of, you know, professional sports teams, it comes almost immediately to, you know, who are your players and who are your star players. And, you know, being a football team and, you know, under helmets, and we don't have the benefit of, you know, I spent 10 years with the Indiana Pacers, and, you know, those guys are up close, and it's a little bit more personal as far as the you know, not just the fans being closer, but certainly on TV, you see one of the expressions on the, on faces and kind of that raw emotion. And certainly there's tons of raw emotion in every NFL game, but, you know, guys are in pads and under helmets. And so how do you kind of humanize your players? And we do that by getting them out in the community and active with various charitable causes. And, you know, we have Community Tuesday, which on a normal game week, players are off on Tuesday, and most, if not all of them, are out in the community, you know, kind of paying it back, so to speak.
That's interesting, that idea of closeness, too, because here I was sitting and thinking about, you know, seeing a mascot on the sidelines jumping around. But I hadn't thought about the difference, especially when you compare, like, to basketball, where you can get closer and you do feel sometimes, depending on your seats, a little more on top of it versus the distance that sometimes comes. And that kind of very strategic idea of humanizing and building a greater level of closeness.
Right. It's, you know, and what's interesting is, you know, we, you know, me and my group, we oversee, you know, the brand initiatives, and but at the end of the day, we can't control how that brand, you know, produces or performs on game day. So, you know, whatever, right, everything that happens outside the white lines of the field, you know, we feel like we can control and script and certainly do what's best for the fan experience. But at the end of the day, you know, how that game turns out certainly impacts how someone consumed and enjoyed that game. And so, you know, I always joke that we get more complaint calls on Mondays after Sunday losses, as far as the hot dogs weren't hot enough, or the, you know, the soft drinks weren't cold enough, or, you know, in those kind of things. But when you win, it, you know, fans walk away like, hey, that was a ton of fun. And when you lose, and that emotion of losing, you know, can impact how, you know, kind of that experience went, and what your perception of the fans' experience for those in, you know, not just in the stadium on game day, but sitting on the couch at home, you know, it, you know, it can impact your emotional disposition, I guess, you know, when you get done with the game or go to work the next day.
That's interesting, because experience is kind of a buzzword around branding now, and that's really what we're all in the business of. And the challenge, of course, is that experience is something that happens to someone else. You know, we're not just blasting our marketing at people. It's something that's taken in, and we aren't as in control of that as maybe we used to be. But especially in your business, where, you know, you take something else, you know, Zappos ships the package and it goes according to plan, and if not, they have, you know, things that they can do to remedy that. But really, at the end of the day, the biggest piece of that is something that you aren't in control of. So I guess what I'm asking is, how do you manage to that or around that?
Well, you know, you certainly, you know, it's the roller coaster ride of an NFL season. We only play 16 regular season games, 8 of those at home. You know, you play, you know, 4 preseason games, 2 away, 2 at home. Then you hope like heck you get into the playoffs and have more games on the schedule. But we have so few touch points with our fans, you know, versus a baseball season is, you know, 162 games, 81 of those at home. And so, you know, they get, I say all the time that they get more reps as far as the interaction with their fan base. You know, the ushers and greeters and guest relations staff, you know, have potential to build better rapport with their fans because they see them more often. And so, you know, we, you know, our stage is bigger, meaning our field, our stadiums are bigger, you know, and we have just fewer, you know, quote unquote parties, but we throw bigger parties, you know. And so, you know, it's one of those where, we work very hard that let's make sure every game is a big deal and we execute properly as far as, you know, our game production and our guest relations and, you know, our whole fan experience, because, you know, it's one of really 8 to 10 to, at the very most, 12 home games you're going to have in a season.
Well, that's really interesting. You talk about kind of maximizing those touch points it's easy. I mean, everybody knows how long everybody's season is. And of course, there's fewer football games. But when you break it down in terms of branding, that is, you know, really a case to maximize those touch points. And, you know, that kind of leads me back to, you know, at the top of the show when I was going through your bio and kind of listing all of those things: TV, radio, websites, digital, social, merchandise, e-commerce, community, special events, partnerships, advertising, branding. I mean, all of those things. You know, you do have to maximize those, but I'm also wondering from a brand experience perspective, and, you know, that there are many different players and probably, I mean, I guess I shouldn't use the term players when there's literal players in this business, but individuals responsible for these different aspects of the brand. Is there some sort of touchstone, some sort of underlying piece of everything that people know, regardless of, you know, if this is an advertisement, if it's a game day activity, the most important aspect of the Vikings brand experience is X?
Yeah, you know, that's tough, just because, you know, everyone experiences, you know, our brand differently. And so what we've worked very hard on is, one, being consistent, you know. So, you know, what do we look and feel like as far as, you know, visually and how we, so let's be consistent with that. And then let's work very hard on finding, you know, how does each fan want to interact with us? Is it via social media? If so, which social media channel? And then, you know, what is our personality on Snapchat? What is our personality on Instagram? What is our personality on, you know, Facebook? And so all those things need to be consistent, but then yet fit the right, the right social medium. And we still have season ticket members that, hey, they want the invoice in the mail, you know, and they'll send their check in. And there's others that, like, you know, how can I pay, you know, via mobile payment? And so, you know, we're going to launch an app for US Bank Stadium. It'll be much like what the Niners did with Levi Stadium as they opened last year. And so, you know, but then, you know, not every fan wants to have a mobile experience in game. And then how does your app act for those on the couch versus those in the stadium? So those are kind of, you know, you have to kind of juggle, you know, all those different aspects, but still try to stay consistent and stay a cutting edge and, you know, maybe not be, you know, the first on certain social platforms. You know, we always work very closely with the league of what we can and can't do and make sure we're going the right direction and putting resources in the right places.
So is there a common denominator, aspect of the personality? I like what you said too about who are we on all of these places, but then there's something that is, boy, all of my bad occurs to me, never occurred to me how many sports euphemisms I use. I talk about teams and uniforms and players,
yeah.
And I'm talking to someone who actually has those things in their business, so I don't want to be confusing. But is there some sort of common aspect of that personality for the brand that is consistent between the paper invoice and the Snapchat presence?
Yeah, you know, we work very hard as far as, okay, what font are we using? You know, how is the logo placed on letterhead versus on, you know, on a web page? And yeah, you know, again, you know, we've worked hard just to stay consistent. We've really brought our whole brand control and graphic design and creative content production all in-house. And, you know, we've created a Vikings Entertainment Network that produces all of our video and written and other social content, you know, versus farming that out. And again, that's the benefit of being a kind of a smaller business, is, you know, but we've worked, you know, very hard to, you know, we have three, now soon to be four, graphic design specialists on our staff. And so instead of hiring an agency or an outside design firm to represent our brand and bring our brand to life, we've worked very hard to kind of bring that in-house, hire experts in those areas, and then we have more control in, back to that word I've said a few times now, more consistency of what, you know, how we're positioned and portrayed in the marketplace.
Well, and when you can telegraph some of that consistency too, because it's so many, it's fans, it's commentators, it's all of these people that are sometimes the final, most of the time, the final people telling the story, but you have to give them kind of the materials with which to do it.
Well, and we all know that, you know, the younger generation, they want to create content, and they want to not necessarily just consume content, but be the creators of that content. So, you know, how we engage with, a 21-year-old fan versus a 55-year-old fan, you know, may be different, may be the same, depending on, you know, how they want to be engaged with us. But, you know, we're working very hard on, you know, getting more, engaged with our female fan base. I mean, nearly half of our fans are females. And so that's, you know, not necessarily unusual in a consumer product category, depending on which one it is. But, you know, the NFL is definitely almost like a 50-50 male-female fan base. And so you need to make sure that, you know, you communicate, to those respective demographics.
And how, you know, what are some of the strategies that you're doing that in an effective and useful way?
Yeah, you know, it's not always about monetizing and generate revenue. It's engagement. We work very hard to, you know, how do we engage our fans on a year-round basis? Kind of that pinwheel approach to, you know, obviously we're in season now, and then you get into, you know, Super Bowl, and if you're blessed to be in that game, great. If you're not, it's almost like a national holiday. You know, people watch the Super Bowl, and that's where it's unique. I mean, think about that, where, yeah, you know, you may not be a football fan, and you watch the Super Bowl because of the commercials, and mm-hmm. because it's a, you know, it's a viewing party, and, you know, what appetizer and dip are you going to bring, and, you know, what funny ads are you going to see. And then there's those that are hardcore football fans that, you know, normally you would, you know, leave to take a bathroom break during a commercial maybe. And it's like, no, boy, I can't miss, you know, the Doritos commercial that's coming up. And so it's been interesting to see how that the Super Bowl just gets bigger and bigger every year. And then, you know, as we come out of that and go into the off season, and then we, you know, we get into, you know, the free agency period and the draft and mini camp into training camp into preseason into the season. So it just kind of, you know, cycles through. And then, you know, how do you keep your fans engaged during the year when you only have 16 games total? The year round, you know, just year round. We know that, you know, our fans are, you know, on average during a course of a, you know, week in the season, or the average Vikings fan is spending, you know, about 18 hours of time interacting with our brand. So, you know, if 3 or 4 hours of that is on game day, you know, what are they doing all those other dozen plus hours during the week? And certainly fantasy football is a huge thing. You know, just the, you know, the Monday press conference and the pregame shows and just all that lead up, you know, kind of week in, week out as you play on Sunday.
You talked about a pinwheel approach earlier. How does that work for you?
Well, just, you know, it's just, if you look at the year as a, you know, kind of a 360, you know, pinwheel. So if, you know, the end of our season, you know, in hopefully early February versus, you know, early January. But, you know, really, how do you, you know, once you get into off season, you know, how do you engage and interact with your fans, you know, throughout the course of the year? Because you don't want to become irrelevant and kind of go away during the off season. And that's where, you know, look at the NFL Combine, which is, you know, the college recruits that are, you know, the NFL teams are all trying to figure out who to draft and as they're scouting him and have scouted him during the college season. But that's become, you know, like huge TV ratings to see guys run 40-yard sprints. And you know, it's a way to engage our fans in the off season. And the NFL Draft has, you know, become a whole fan fest festival, you know, in Chicago for the first time versus New York in many, many years. And so, you know, it's really how can you celebrate around your team and the NFL brand, not just during the season, but in the off season as well.
You talked earlier about content and what forms of content people want. It seems that you're doing a lot to both bring that content in-house and create more of it, and doing so in a year-round manner as well.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, we have the benefit, you know, that we can get access that other media can't. You know, what we can't do is get into the kind of rumor and innuendo and you know, criticism, you know, the outside media or traditional media can certainly, you know, opine on all kinds of things. And so we, you know, we won't necessarily cross over, you know, that threshold. But, you know, we have, you know, our Vikings Entertainment Studio is literally, you know, adjacent to our locker room and weight room at our practice facility. And so, you know, it took some time to, you know, kind of educate everyone internally that, hey, you know, the Vikings Entertainment Network, even though we're creating content and we're not, you know, we're family, we're part, you know, we're never going to, you know, we want to put the players and the organization and the coaches in a most favorable light, but to do so in a way that's, you know, exclusive content we can create that others can't just because of, you know, access.
Well, and that's such a huge, I mean, that's a huge thing. You know, you talk about what we can't do. You can't, you know, like you said, to talk about, you know, broadcasting the games, talk about the critique and all of that stuff. But what you're left with is a pretty big piece, and it is that one where you can continue to build that level of closeness by taking fans behind the scenes and, you know, seeing what happens, what's going on behind the scenes, both during the season and I would imagine in the off season as well.
Well, yeah, if you go to our Instagram account and, you know, when we travel for road games, you know, you see, you know, pictures of players and what fashion that they have as they're getting on the team plane and, you know, or, you know, just a lot of, you know, behind the scenes type of, you know, photography and imagery that we think is a cool way that for those fans that enjoy that and want to interact with our brand in that way, let's give them a peek behind the curtain that, you know, there's no media traveling with us as we go on the road. So let's, you know, not overdo it necessarily, but certainly, you know, give right. Give the fans some peaks, so to speak, that they couldn't otherwise.
And as we come on the end of the year here, what's something that you're looking ahead to doing more of, doing differently?
Well, we're gonna, you know, we have a ton of focus right now on the new stadium experience, and you know how we're going to, you know, educate fans to come early. We've got an awesome pregame space, close to 12 acres of programmable space with our outdoor plaza and a new city park called the Commons. And so we'll, you know, because in the past, you know, when we played at the Mall of America Field at the Metrodome, it was almost like get there right at game time and leave right after. And now we're going to have all kinds of space and opportunity. And so how are we going to, one, program that, and then two, you know, make sure our fans understand those new opportunities that they haven't had in the past.
And as we start to wrap up here, what's one thing in thinking of all of your areas of work, if you could leave other brand builders with a thought, one thing to focus on, to remember, what would your parting words be?
Well, I think, you know, I think we started with that as far as don't lose sight of who your respective fans are, you know, even though, you know, that's, you know, a sports term, you know, yeah. But who those customers are. And, you know, you see brands that, you know, times you're kind of like, boy, that seems, you know, a little bit off, you know, I'm not sure where they're coming from there. And then others that take a little more time to settle in and finally, okay, I get it. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's, you know, I see all the time that we're in the entertainment business. We're not saving lives. We should be, you know, fun. You know, it's emotional. You know, wins and losses. I mean, people take it to heart, and they have opinions. And the key with being a sports team is you want them engaged. And apathy is the killer of sports brands. When fans don't care if you win or lose and that emotion is gone, that's always a scary, dark place for those in my chair. And you want them, hey, when you lose, you want them upset. You want them to be critical and second guess and Monday morning quarterback because, hey, they care and they're involved. It'd be scary if Monday morning nobody's talking about you, whether it was a win or a loss, you know.
No, that's a real good point. One that is also probably unique to your business in the case that you want people upset, because like you said, that does show that they care. Whereas most of us are a little frightened when our customers are upset with us.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So outside of the Minnesota Vikings, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
You know, I'm going to give I'm going to give a nod to my former employer, the Indiana Pacers. You know, they this year, you know, the movie Hoosiers. You know, they launched a whole merchandise and uniform promotion and campaign where their players wore the Hickory, you know, uniforms from Hoosiers. You know, the shorts a little longer nowadays than what they were back in the movie, but you know, in real life around the movie. But no, it was kind of neat to see them. I know that was probably, you know, a calculated risk on their part that I think, you know, from my perspective, well, I've followed it incredibly closely just because we're busy here, but it was kind of cool to see them, you know, take a chance there and have some fun with, you know, that Hickory brand through the movie Hoosiers from, I think it's been a big hit for them.
Yeah. Awesome. Now I got to go watch Hoosiers. That's a classic. That's one you always stop on when it's on.
Absolutely.
Steve, where can folks go to learn more about, it's funny to say because I'm pretty sure I know the answer, who you are and what you do?
Well, you know, Vikings.com, you know, it's not about me, it's about the Vikings brand, but, Vikings.com, USBankStadium.com, I mean, that kind of leads you to all kinds of different paths of all the cool content and opportunities to interact with us. And you know, we've got a great team here at the Vikings, and we're kind of going through a brand evolution with a new stadium and a new practice facility, and hopefully a continually good team on the field that is really a young core. And you know, at the end of the day, winning in our business, it makes us all smarter and better brand builders and everything else. And we talk about all the time that you need to be ready for those winning seasons, because when they come, you have to take full advantage of it. And you know, we love the bandwagon to get filled up, you know, and you never want to turn away anybody that wants to be a fan of your team.
Awesome words that all of us should remember about all of those potential fans out there. Steve, thanks for being on brand with us.
Yeah, thank you. And go Hawkeyes, huh? It's been a fun year to see our squad rolling along. So hopefully they continue to finish this thing out.
I know. You know, that is a great place to end as well, because I always flip the microphone around here and talk a little bit about our community. And I guess it's the Viking in me, the community-focused Viking here on the On Brand podcast. And that is a great reminder that for this week's social shout-out, we are going to, with a couple of Hawks on the show, make it about the Hawks. It is this weekend for us, but when this goes up, we will know the outcome of it. But it has been and continues to be an amazing season. Go Hawks! And as a reminder, if you liked something that you heard on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, remember to give us a holler on Twitter using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can find links to everything that we talked about over at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. Be a fan of the On Brand podcast. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.